We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 6th chapter, the 12th pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech says, Adam Belial Ish Ahaven Holech Ikashukte. Adam Belial. What is Belial? Beli Yaal. Without the yoke of heaven. Beli all. Adam Belial. A person without the yoke of heaven, says Shlomo HaMelech, is Ish Aven, a man of sin. Holech ikashut pe. And the way he functions in life is that his talk is slanted. His talk is not straight and honest. So, Shlomo Melech is telling us a very interesting point. Very often, we can be deceived. And it's very hard to gauge who we're standing, who we're talking to. It could be a doctor, it could be a car mechanic, it could be a rabbi, like the story we just read. It could be a person you met in shul who stands swaying piously with his talis and tefillin Friday afternoon. The real gauge, if you want to know who you're talking to, is what's his yoke of heaven like? Because the Torah is very exacting when the Torah demands of us to be honest people, to be good people, to be fair people. And the Torah repeatedly warns us. God says, I know what's going on in your heart. But we all know that no one else does. And so if it's the car mechanic who could sell you a load of goods, or it's the doctor who could sell you a load of goods, very often we can't know who we're standing up against. And even after the fact, we don't necessarily know. Imagine two doctors. One doctor is very careful and meticulous, and he does his best for the patient. And a patient comes in and he says, look, I've looked over your file, and I spent the last week consulting with experts, and it's really a difficult decision. I want to think with you what we should do, because if we go through with this procedure, there's a 40-50% chance you won't come out alive. And if we don't do the procedure, well, then there's also a higher risk, a 70% chance that you won't live through this situation. And I can't decide what's right and what's wrong. And the guy says, doctor, well, you have all the experience. What do you recommend? And the doctor says, I got to tell you, it's really hard, but after talking to all the other experts, I'm going to give him my best shot in the operating room, and I still think you should go with it, because the chances of your living much longer without treating this condition are slim enough that logic dictates to go through with it. And he sweats bullets the night before, and he prays that morning, and he goes in, and he does the operation, and the guy dies on the operating table. You have another doctor. All he cares about is his wallet. Patient comes in and he tells him, you need this whole huge procedure. And the second doctor, he knows that the guy doesn't really need it. He just wants to make the money off of the procedure. And as he's doing the procedure, he finds a malignancy, something that no one could have told from any test. And he takes it out and he saves the guy's life. And he didn't even mean to do that. He was doing the whole procedure just because he wanted to build an extension to his house. And he knows the truth, but no one else does. And when he comes out of the operating room, he tells the family, not only is he coming out of that operation, okay, we saved his life. I found a malignancy in there that you would have never known until it would have killed him. And everyone praises the second doctor, and of course the first doctor everyone isn't too happy with. They're not going to recommend him. Who's the tzaddik and who's the rasha? But the patients don't know. Very often in life, we look at a picture and that's the story we see. We see the results. You know, the second doctor comes out and he has what to show for himself. Look at how he saved his life. And the first doctor, what's he going to say? Well, I tried. In Shemayim, they know. But down here, we don't know. We can't know. And just because a guy makes a good impression and he could have a long beard and four locks and swaying with a talis, like the story we just read. And the story, by the way, is quoted in many midrashim, that story. And according to the Gra, that's one of the reasons why we don't wear tefillin today. Because too many people were misled by people walking around with tefillin on their head. So we don't know. But Shlomo HaMelech tells us, if we want to know about ourselves, We have to realize that the way of the world is, there's one thing that's going to keep us in line. It's not the law, it's not our neighbor, it's not even our wife. It's whether we fear heaven. There was once a man who came to a city, and he was very concerned about his wife. She was a very pretty wife, and so he agreed with her, "Let's just say you're my sister, not my wife." You know this guy, his name is Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak Avinu. And when Avimelech takes him to task, Avimelech says to him, "I don't get you. What do you have to lie for? We have laws in this country. Think anyone would have touched your wife?" What does Yitzchak answer him? He says, "I said, yeah, there are laws on the books, but there's no fear of heaven in this place." Wasn't it Yitzchak? I think it was Yitzchak who said. No. Who said, "I think it was Yitzchak"? Okay, let's open up a Chumash. You guys have a Chumash? You guys have, I don't have one. Parshat Toledot, I think. Parshat Toledot, somewhere around Ravi. I think Yitzchak says to Avimelech. Yeah, I got it. It's okay.
Got it. Verse 12, chapter 26.
Okay, so it's Yitzchak, right? Yeah, I got it right?
Yeah, no, for early chapter 26.
Here you go. Right, right. No. Yitzchak says, "Ki amarti tenamut aleha." But it doesn't say he said, "Raken yirat elokim b'mekom hazeh." Right? You're right. So I guess it was Avram. 1 second, let's see. Right? You're right, because over there he says, "V'gamol na choti batavi achlo batimi." Ma'amala, right? It is Avram. You're right. You're right. Thank you very much. It's in Vayera, the 20th, what's called the 20th chapter, the 11th pasuk. "V'yomer Avram ki amarti rakin rat elokim b'mekom hazeh v'harguni ad varishti." You're right. It was Avram.
Also Isaac too.
You were right. Isaac said differently. Yitzchak said, Penamutala, he doesn't say that line though. Avram says, no, toda rabba. Raken yirat elokim b'mekom hazeh. I have to look it up. So Avram Avinu says to Avimelech, he says, "You have laws on the books, but laws on the books aren't good enough, because you can find ways to twist the laws on the books. And the only way I can be guaranteed that they won't abduct my wife is if there's the fear of God in the place. The laws on the books aren't enough." So that we could discuss either later Thursday night or when we learn the Pasha. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Adam Belial, a person without the yoke of heaven, Ish Avin. That's going to be a person who's going to be filled with sin ultimately. Holechi Kashut Peh. And when he speaks, his path is a path where what he says is not exactly honest. It's slanted. And that's something which we all have to ask ourselves about. The Ribbono Shel Olam likes people who talk honestly and who are careful to be honest. And that's one of the things Hashem gauges. And one of the things that a person can gauge himself. Where is Hashem in his life? And it's a habit, like every other habit. And if a person is in the habit of lying, so then a person has to realize that it takes time to change a habit. And one of the good ways to change a habit is to begin by correcting ourselves. Meaning, let's say a person lies. So a person exaggerates about things that are little white lies. "I was up at 6 o'clock this morning." And then he says to himself, "No, I wasn't. I was up at 6:45. So now he can continue going and say to himself, "Next time I'll do better." Or, if he really wants to move forward on correcting that trait, he should stop and say, "I don't know why I said that. I was really up at 6:45 this morning. I wasn't up at 6. Once he's corrected himself, whenever it comes to habits that we want to change, the first step in changing a habit is correcting ourselves. If a person expects himself to be correct off the bat, to just change it, and off the bat he'll never make that mistake again, it won't happen. What happens in our mind is after once or twice or three times that we correct ourselves, by the fourth time we'll catch ourselves mid-sentence. By the fifth, sixth, seventh time we'll already catch ourselves as we're about to say it. And afterwards we'll be able to get into the habit of doing what's right from the start. But it's a process. So a person should know that what he says is a pretty good gauge of where God is in his life, how careful he is not to say Lashon Hara, how careful he is to speak honestly, to be careful of his friends' feelings. Shlomo Amel said in this Pasuk, and if a person wants to move forward on that, he shouldn't be frustrated. He should know that it's a process. It takes time. Says Shlomo Amelech, what is the way of a person who does not have the fear of heaven? Pasuk Yud Gimel, Koretz Be'inav, Molel Be'raglav. He makes signs with his eyes, he winks, he has ways of giving across messages to other people. You know how it goes. They ask you about a guy for the shidduch, right? What's your roommate like? So you're standing in the hallway, you don't want to say anything bad about him. You say, ah, he's a really nice guy, he's really okay. Yeah, koretz beinav, Shlomo HaMelech says. Sometimes a person can say the positive and give an indication with the eyes that says the negative. Molel beraglav. He starts shifting with his feet. That's nice. You give an indication, it's not comfortable for you to say something positive. Sometimes you could say everything positive in the world and be negative. Mole be'etzbeotav. He indicates with his fingers. There are different ways in which a person can indicate lashon hara. Once had a guy I was asked to look up. My cousin was supposed to date him. I call his friends, and one guy tells me he's not a bad guy. That's what you want to hear. I don't think he has bad midot. Okay, I tell myself, okay, the first guy's off his rocker. I call the second friend, I get much of the same. You start hearing things like that. I told her, look, maybe he just has lousy friends, but I wouldn't go out with this guy. Sometimes you could even, just with a look, do you know so-and-so? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know so-and-so. Yeah, he's a nice guy, sure, very good, yeah. One look, and you already said everything. So Shlomo HaMelech, that's Adam Bilyan, a person without the yoke of heaven. He doesn't only have to say things slanted, he could be koretz beinav, his indication with his eyes, could indicate his mockery. Molel beraglav, the way he speaks with his feet, more beetzvotav, he could indicate with his fingers. There are many ways in which a person can do his friends harm. Tapuchot bilibo, choresh ra becholet, midyanim yeshaleach. Tapuchot bilibo, Shlomo HaMelech says, deep down inside his heart, he's always thinking, how can I change things? Ah, the facts are that my neighbor's property ends here. How can I change it that I'll extend it a little bit? Just a little bit. Tapuchot bilibo. In his heart are thoughts of overturning things that are fair. Choresh ra becholet. He is constantly thinking how to arouse another fight, another quarrel, another thing that is evil. Choresh ra becholet. Midyanim yeshalech. He is the source of quarrels. Midyanim are quarrels, fights.
Is there a related to the question about the Shabbos and Torah?
Why? No, I don't think so. The truth is the root of the word midyanim is middanim, meaning the written word is middanim, and madon is a fight. Not midyan, but madon. And that's also something that we should take note of, which opens up a Pandora's box. We always speak about judging people favorably. But on the other hand, we have to be intelligent. And Shlomo HaMelech tells us here that there are people who arouse fights. That wherever they are, there's trouble. And we should be aware of that. So yes, we try to look at people favorably, but we also have to be intelligent and realize that if you see a guy that everywhere he goes, there's another fight, so then you have to stop and ask yourself, maybe he's the problem. Maybe not. Maybe every time he was wrong. It could be, but maybe you don't want to be his roommate. Maybe you don't want to find out the hard way. This is really... This opens up a slightly sensitive topic, which is how do you discuss certain things? This can be relevant between you and your wife, you and your children. When you're single, so the question is only about yourself. Who's going to be your roommate? Who's going to be your neighbor? When you get married, so then your wife's going to see an apartment and you're going to go see it and you're going to notice that the next door neighbor is a guy who you know is always getting into fights in shul. And you're telling yourself, I don't want to live next door to him. What may you tell your wife? What may you not tell your wife? Halacha precludes saying lashon hara from our spouse unless it's necessary. Well, maybe you could tell your wife, look, if, in order to explain to you, will involve telling you something which is lashon hara, so I can't really say. But I have to tell you, I'm not comfortable just moving to that apartment, and I can't explain. Okay, so in that case, you could get out of it. But sometimes there will be situations where you can't get out of it. And you have to see, but you have to know that this is something to be wary of. Midyanim yeshaleach, people who arouse quarrels and fights, they could have all the good reasons in the world, but I would stay away. There was a guy who had a very good job, but then he thought they should give him a raise. So he went and had it out with his boss, and he found himself without a job the next day. So he got another job. And again, the same thing happened. And after it happened three times, he called me up and asked me if I could help him get a job. I wasn't about to do anything. I need my reputation with his fights. I told him, you know, I could tell you these are websites where you could look up jobs, and these are people you could contact. I wasn't going to give him a recommendation because he had good reason to say why each and every boss was wrong. But if you have three bosses within a year and a half where you're always getting into fights with your bosses, so then I have to wonder who's right and who's wrong. So I can't recommend him. Shlomo HaMelech warns us, keep an eye out. When a person is midyanim yeshaleach, he causes fights, you got to wonder whether you should be with the person. Al kein pitom yavoido peta yishavel ve'en malpe. Therefore, says Shlomo HaMelech, things catch up with a person. And that's something which you'll see in your lifetime. Sometimes people seem like they're successful in the short run. Ultimately, says Shlomo HaMelech, pitom yavoido. His downfall will be sudden. Peta yishavel, he will suddenly find himself broken. Then marpe, and there'll be no cure. We had a shul where there was a gabbai who was an old man who decided his job was to show everyone he was boss. So he was always getting into fights with everyone. You sit there, that seat's taken. You're not getting that aliyah the Shabbos. I don't care if you have your tzai. Always getting into fights. Last time I met him, he was begging me to come back to the shul. So I happened to have moved. I didn't live there anymore, but I didn't want to go there anyways. But, you know, suddenly he has no minion. No one wants to daven in the shul. Shlomo HaMelech says things catch up with a person. And the fact that in the short run we don't see it, Shlomo HaMelech says when it happens all of a sudden, suddenly, that's it. I was walking down the street, he was walking next to me, and he said, why don't you come to our shul anymore? So I realized this was a sore point. I said, I don't live there anymore. He said, I see you here. I said, yeah, this is 15 minutes away, and I live another 5 minutes away. I'm not going to walk 20 minutes to shul Shabbos morning. I have 10 shuls on the way. Why should I come there? So he says to me, is it me? So I said, no, why would it be you? I mean, it's a good reason not to come to the shul. But I didn't tell him that. So he says to me, it's funny. This one doesn't talk to me anymore, and that one doesn't talk to me anymore, and they don't come to shul, and they don't come to shul. We didn't even get a minyan Shabbos morning. Okay, I feel bad for him, but you know what? He did it himself.
So how do you tell him that?
I don't tell him that. The man's in his 60s or 70s or 80s. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to teach him anything at this point. You know, if life isn't teaching it to him, I don't think I have the relationship with him where I could say something. And don't forget, he's old enough to be my father, maybe even my grandfather. I'm not sure I'm the person who can teach him anything. I'm not sure if anyone can. But when it comes to tochacha, you have to know what to say, how to say, when to say, who to say. Right? You need all those components. So I don't know what to say. I don't know when to say. I don't know if to say. And I don't think I'm the one who should say. I don't think so. Older people who see him, maybe, if they find the when, the right time to say, maybe they'll find the time. Maybe. But if you open that up, maybe we should address that. Did I ever tell you guys the story about the pilot who called our house and yelled at me and my wife? No? I didn't tell you the story? Okay. We got a phone call. A guy demands to talk to me. Fine. I come on the phone. He tells me I'm an Air Force pilot. I'm a top soldier. I went to top yeshiva and I need a shidduch. So I said, very nice. Okay. Very good. I take down his details and he says, so when are you going to call me back? So I said, okay, I'll look over your file. I'll look over the girls I have. We'll see if we have something that makes sense. And if there's something that makes sense, I'll get back to you. Fine. A day later, he calls back and he asks my wife where I am. So she says, I can't come to the phone. So he starts yelling at her, how come I'm not coming to the phone? Okay, fine. I never met this man. Till today, I never met him in my life. Never met the guy. Fine. I hear the yelling. I ask my wife, who's yelling at you on the phone? What'd you do? So she says, I don't know. I just said, you can't come to the phone now. So I said, okay. If he's so annoyed, I'll talk to him. Fine. I talked to him. And to make a long story short, this is the way all the conversations went. So after about 2 or 3 years, he calls me up and he's crying. He says, I can't get married. And no one's going to set me up and I'm never going to get married. And I don't know why. What do you think? So I said to myself, like you said, okay, this is my golden opportunity. He's asked me, what do I think? So I sort of have to say something. If no one's ever going to talk to him, then what'll ever happen? And this is one of two times in my life where I actually did something because mind over matter, meaning I said, logic says you got to try. My gut says, why should I bother? Why should I? There were twice in my life. I did that. I said, you know, logic says you got to give the guy a chance. So try. Talk to him. So very gently, I said to him, look, you have so many great qualities. You're a top fighter pilot. You're learning the top yeshiva. And sometimes, you know, you're very confident in what you have to say. And you come across very, very strong. So of course, you know what you're talking about. And of course, it's fair that you say it. But you have to realize that on the receiving end, maybe the girls or the shadchanim are not ready to receive it as strongly as you give it. They don't see it as clearly as you see it. You know, you understand, I had to butter up everything I'm saying. You're talking to a guy like this. You got to say it as gently as possible. So, okay, we talk for 5-10 minutes later, and he's interested. He hears it. Fine. I don't hear from him for a while. And then I get a phone call, and he tells me, I'm sitting here in the car with my kala, and I want you to know that I think it was your phone conversation that made it possible. He said, I want your address, I want to send you an invitation. I never got an invitation. So I said, I never met the guy in my life. I gave him the right address. You know, I was telling myself, do I owe it to him to go to the wedding? You know, I suffered through the whole process. What do I have to go for? But okay, I never had to cross that bridge. I never got the invitation. So it made me wonder. I agree with you. There are instances where you have to say something. If you know that you're a person who's in a position to say it, at a time to say it, and you could find the right way to say it, so yeah, that there can be instances. But I'm telling you, it's very, very rare. It's very rare that that you should be the one to say something. You, me, anyone. Saying, as a parent, it's different. As a parent, part of your job is you got to tell your kid, hey, wait a second. This, why'd you do this that way or the other way? As a parent, that's your job to an extent. And even then, as a kid grows older, you should be saying less. Pasuk Tetzayin. Sheshena Sanei Adonai Visheva Toavat Nafsho. There are 6 things that God hates, and the 7th God also finds disgusting. So what are these things? That's where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem after the break.